Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you we can come and sit at your feet this day. It's Christmas time. It's the time when we come and consider the birth of Jesus. May we today get a blessing as we appreciate this story once more. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn with me there. Matthew chapter 1. And beginning with verse 18, we read these words. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done, that which it might be fulfilled that was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Here we have the bare facts of a story that we know so very, very well. In each and every Christmas, we look again at this story and fall in love with it. But the question remains, but how much importance should we place on this story? Does this story still have meaning for today? And I guess to appreciate the specialness of the moment, maybe we can begin by appreciating just how much it was looked forward to. Were people looking forward to this moment for a long time? After all, the more special the event, the greater the build-up would be for that event. Like today, when a couple announces they are getting married, there's that anticipation, preparation that goes into a wedding, or someone having a 21st birthday party. These special occasions that we look forward to, there is that moment of anticipation, like every year we come to Christmas, there's this build-up for Christmas. And so we get asked the question today, this moment, this birth of Jesus, how long did they look forward to this event for? How long was the build-up? Was it long? Was it short? How long? To begin the story, we need to go back to that first moment when hope of the event first appeared. Come back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We know the story in Genesis 3 very well. Here we got Adam and Eve. They blew it. They blew it. Eve and Adam took the fruit. Weren't supposed to, but they did. They were caught out. And here in Genesis 3 verse 15, we have the first promise of hope. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Hope is given. Hope was given to Adam and Eve in these words. And also the devil was given a clear message that one day he would pay, and pay very dearly, for the trouble he caused. Hela would have hung on to that promise all the days of their lives. Hela must have hung on to the promise that, hey, someday the Messiah would come. Can you imagine when they built that beautiful home outside of Eden? And when you read the book Patriarchs and Prophets there at the beginning of that book, you're given a glimpse into what that life would have been like. When they were building homes out of gemstones, we see homes today built out of brick and we think they're lovely. A home built from diamonds, opals, pearls, whatever gemstones you want to imagine. That's the type of homes they built back then. I'm sure Adam would have built a beautiful home for Eve. Probably not too far from the Garden of Eden, because Eden was their original home. But of course, after 940 odd years, Eve no doubt passed away first, then Adam. But what amazing funerals they would have had. The mother and father of the human race being laid to rest. But what about the promise? What about that promise that was given? Did it die with them? Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Here we got the promise being repeated in so many words. Genesis chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will give thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In thee shall all the families be blessed. Indeed, how blessed we were because Jesus was born. Genesis 17, come with me there. Genesis chapter 17. Here in verse 19. We'll go back to verse 1. Genesis 17, beginning with verse 1. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to him, to Abram, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, and walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be the father of many nations, and neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. The message is repeated. The hope is given. What Adam and Eve were looking forward to has not been forgotten. The promise was not forgotten. And here God is saying that the covenant that I made with them in the beginning shall come through your seed. You shall be a special people for me and for the world. And for the world. Genesis 28, come with me there. Genesis 28. What a moment this would have been. Jacob is about to flee for his life. And now Isaac, when he got the two sons sorted out, so he knows which is which, he calls him to his side and gives him the blessing that he was trying to cheat for. The special blessing that we read in verse 4. But let's read it from verse 1 to 4, Genesis 28. And Isaac called Jacob, and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, Thou shalt not take the wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise. Go to Peniel, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughter of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Verse 4. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherewith thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Isaac knew which son he was supposed to give the blessing to. The thing that Jacob was trying to cheat for, he now received. But you know, there was a trip to Egypt. 400 years in Egypt. Would you not expect the promise to be forgotten? The promise that was given to Adam and Eve, let's face it, we can go a couple of generations and forget family history. True? But this is 400 years. 400 years in Egypt. Deuteronomy 18. Come with me there. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, here Moses is about to repeat the promise. Deuteronomy 18, 15, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye will hearken. Then come the 17. The Lord said unto me, Thou have well spoken, which thou have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Here we read part of the farewell speech of Moses. And in this part of the speech, we see him looking into the future. The future. And reminding them of who is to come. They understood. They knew. That this would be the one who was depicted about in the services that they were performing. Moses looked forward to the Messiah. Moses, Joshua, Judges. We come now to King David. King David. King David. Psalms 110. Psalms 110. King David. Psalm of David. Psalms 110. Beginning with verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the head over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. There is no doubt in the mind of David that there was a day coming when the Messiah would appear and deliver his people. It was going to be a real event. And as the years went by, there were others who would catch the vision of what was yet to come. Isaiah. Isaiah 7. Come with me there. Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7 got the vision. Isaiah 7 verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, Isaiah again catches hold of this vision of the Messiah to come. Isaiah 11, beginning with verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign. The prophet Jeremiah also saw this day. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Verse 5. Behold, the day comes, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. What words to write! What a message of hope to give. And in all this, we need to keep in mind that the day of the Lord was still a long way off. But the flame of hope was kept alive. The people would be reminded that hope for the future was still coming and not to give up. Zechariah. Zechariah. Chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even unto sea, and from the river unto the ends, even to the ends of the earth. What words! What beautiful words! Again, we see things being pointed out that would give to the people a clue as to when the king would appear. All that could be done was done so they wouldn't get caught out. And so they knew all the facts. All the clues were given. The angel came when the baby was born. The angels came to the people of Israel. They spoke to the shepherds. The shepherds went and saw the baby. And after worshipping the king, they went and shared the good news. People came from everywhere. They were glad. They were excited. The priests and the rulers jumped for joy. And all the people came as one to the manger. And they brought their gifts. And together they let the heavens sing with the sounds of their hope that the king had arrived. They were excited. Didn't they do that? John chapter 1. Weren't they excited? In John chapter 1, we get these words. John 1, 10 and 11. Because in the world was made by him, the world knew him not. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. What sad words we read. Came to the world, didn't know him. Didn't receive him. With all the clues that were given, they all missed the boat. And we look at them all today, we think back of it all and think, how can they be so stupid? How could they miss it? How could they miss it? And yet, before we judge them too harshly, before we get too smug, I want to read a couple of verses. John 14. Come with me there. John 14. John 14, 1-3. But Jesus says these beautiful words. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Know those words? Acts chapter 1, come with me there. Acts chapter 1, we have the scene of Jesus going home. In verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. You know, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming again. You know, it's interesting. When it comes to Christmas, there are two parts of Christmas that are very, very special. Are they not? One is what? Christmas presents. The other part is Christmas dinner itself. Christmas presents, what should they remind us of? And really, these two symbols, the Christmas present should point us back to the past, which is what? Who was the greatest gift of all? It was Jesus, wasn't it? That was heaven's gift to you and to me. Heaven's gift was Jesus. Christmas dinner. Christmas dinner. What's the symbol of? Revelation 19, come with me there. Revelation 19, verse 9. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. You know, when we get to heaven, the first thing is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Party. The beautiful long table. We don't know how long it's going to be, but hey, there's room for everyone. And to each one of us is given the invitation that we can be a part of that. In Revelation 22. Revelation 22 verse 17, we've got the beautiful invitation where we've got these words, the Spirit and the Bride say come. Let him that heareth come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Beautiful hope, isn't it? When you consider the events of the past week, what happened here in Australia, two lives been destroyed, then all those children who were wiped out last week as well. It's a massacre. It reminds us that we are living in a sick old world and we need hope. And the greatest hope that we can have at a time like this is the hope of Christmas. Which not only reminds us, which should not only remind us of Jesus' first coming as a babe at Bethlehem, but through it all we can look forward with hope to his second coming. Because really, without the hope of the second coming, the first coming becomes pointless. Becomes a joke. Do you want to be there? Something to look forward to, don't you think? No more terrorism. No more pain. No more suffering. No more death. And to be a part of that, I think would be the best Christmas present we could each have. To be in a world where everything God says, hey, everything is going to be brand new. Revelation 21. To give you a picture of what's got just ahead of us. When God makes everything and puts everything right, Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God was with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. In verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears. All tears. No more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Hey, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for the words are true and faithful. He will make everything new. No more pain. No more suffering, no more death. And you and I are invited to be a part of it. May we all plan to be there by God's grace. Have a good Christmas. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful hope that we have. May this hope forever burn within our hearts. It's our prayer this day. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.